Today's daf is Chulin Daf Yud Gimel. We are holding on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. We're at the two dots, about 7 lines from the end of the page, on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. So Yashir is once again sponsored by the Bookbinder family, the Zecher Nishmas Ruth Simon Aleh Shalom Rachel Perel Bas Avram, who was an outstanding contributor to South Shore, to Masifta Taras Yaakov, and many other mostos. We thank the Bookbinders very much for the sponsorship and the Neshamish Neman Aliyah from the Zuchus of our learning. So we're holding at the two dots on Daf Yud Beis and Beis, and we're about to discuss the status of the Shechita of Ketanim, and in general, the Maisa of Ketanim. We're going to discuss whether Ketanim have the ability to have Machshava, do they have the ability to have Maisa, do they have the ability to have Machshava Nikeres Mitoch Ma'aseihem. We're going to see that there are in fact three separate categories in terms of determining the level of Kavana that a Ketan is able to have. So that's going to take us up until the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah is going to talk about the Shechita of an Ovid Kuchavim, how the Shechita of an Ovid Kuchavim is a Nevela, but it's a Machlokas, whether the Shechita of an Ovid Kuchavim is also Aser Bahana'a, and that's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion, what about the Shechita of a Min, someone who's a Yisrael, but he's an Ovid Avodah Zarah, he's Aduk Ba'Avodah Zarah, what's his status, and what's the status of his Shechita? The Gemara is going to discuss, do we assume that goyim are necessarily minim? On Amud Beis, we're going to say no, usually not. It's minagav osayim biyadayim. They're doing what their fathers taught them to do, but they have no idea what they're actually doing. They don't have strongly held beliefs. And the Gemara is going to have three suggestions of the halachic implications of saying that they're not minim, and discussion whether we can accept karbanos from non-Jews who are not minim. The Gemara right before the Mishnah is going to have machlokas whether tekrovas avodas kuchavim is considered to be metame ba'oel. Tekrovas avodas zara is metame in some sense, but is it metame even ba'oel? So we're going to have machlokas about that. And then on the very bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis, there's a Mishnah and a very short piece of Gemara about shechting at night. Why are you allowed to shecht when it's nighttime? Is a blind person allowed to shecht someone who's unable to see? What if you have a torch? What if you have, obviously, the torch doesn't help the blind person, but the torch helps the seeing person at night. So what is the status of such a shechita? So let's begin at the two dots on Daf Yud Beis and Beis, 7 lines from the end of the page. Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Bai Rabbi Yochanan, Katan Yesh Lo Machshava, Oein Lo Machshava. Does a Katan have Machshava or not? Says Rashi, Kigon b'shchitas kachim, debay kavanas. Specifically speaking about shechting kachim, where there is a requirement of kavana, k'dialfinu b'shmaita kamaisa d'zvachim, v'shachat katan ola l'shma, miyavya kavana olo. So does the, if a katan shechts a karban ola l'shma, does that count as kavana legabe shchitas kachim or not? If you look at Tosos, Dibra Maschel Katan, he quotes Rashi, and then he says, v'im tomar, ha-hasa mashmet d'stamanami kashim, mishum d'zvachim stama l'shma. Maybe shechting kachim is not the best example to use to try to determine whether katan has kavana, because when it comes to shechting kachim, the halacha is that even a stam shechita is assumed to be lishma; it's considered lishma. Only when you have specific kavana shelo lishma is it going to pasul. So even if katan doesn't have positive kavana, but we assume his kavana is not negative kavana either, so says Tosfos Yeshlomer, the stam of the katan. No, what does stama lishma mean? That we make the assumption that when someone is shechting, that it's automatically lishma. That stam is that he would want his das to be whatever it whatever would work. But by a katan, even with specific kavana, it wouldn't work because he doesn't have that das to even understand the entire concept of kachim. And therefore, Tosfos says Rashi's understanding that we're asking about shechting. Shechting kachim is a valid understanding. That's what we're asking about. Yesh lo machshava or ein lo machshava. So amrei rabami v'tibay le maisa. Why don't you raise the shaila about maisa? You're only asking about machshava. Why don't you ask whether a katan has maisa? Maishna maisa. The reason you didn't ask a shaila about maisa of a katan is because we have a mishnah that says beferish that yesh len maisa machshava nami lo tibayaled. It's not ein len machshava. Well, you also shouldn't have much of a shaila about machshava either, because the Mishnah says that the katan does not have machshava, and we're about to see the Mishnah tells us both of those things: both that a katan does not have machshava and that a katan does have maisa. So according to Rashi, just to get the terminology down over here, maisa is a maisa of a katan along with a dibur. Machshava is a dibur without a maisa. When we say machshava, it doesn't just mean that it stays in his head. It means he speaks, he says what he's intending, but there is no maisa. And machshavasa nikeres mitoch maisav is that he does a maisa that shows that he's having a certain machshava, but there is no dibur accompanying it. So those are the three levels. Maisa is maisa with dibur. Machshava is that it's a dibur without a maisa, and machshavaso nikeres mitoch maisav is that there's a maisa, but there's no dibur at all. So we're saying in the category of maisa, where there's a maisa along with the dibur, then for sure katan has maisa. In the category of machshava, that there's a dibur but no maisa associated with it, so then for sure the katan would not have a machshava. The machshava would not count as kavana for the katan. And we're going to see the main issue is going to be, the real shaila is going to be about machshavasu nikeres mitok maisa. He does a maisa, but there's no dibur that accompanies that maisa. So anyway, where's the Mishnah where we see that the katan is ein lahen machshava but yesh lahen maisa? Ditznan ha'alon va'rimon va'egos. If you have certain fruits that have hard shells, where the shell, once you hollow out all the fruit from inside the shell, you can use the shell as some sort of kli. So at what point does it take on the status of a kli? Does it take on the status of a bowl or something that it's going to be mekabel tuma? So shechakum tinokos lama ben ofar. If a child hollows it out in order to measure dirt in it, or to set it up to become part of a scale that you have the kalim on each side of the scale, tameim meshiyesh lemaisa, they are tame, they now become tame, they're mekabel tuma because a katan has maisa, and here's a katan doing a maisa, and again we're assuming at least within Shitas Rashi that along with that maisa comes a dibur where he's explaining what he's doing, and that for sure is going to make it a real kli to be mekabel tuma. But ve'ein lahen machshava, but they do not have machshava. So you see beferish in the Mishnah that they don't have machshava. What does it mean ein lahen machshava? Rashi explains on the top, kigon matza leklipas egos kmo shahaya. He found the shell already hollowed out. V'chashav alei lamud o afilu madad ba. And then he had a machshava to use it for medida, or even he actually uses it for medida, but he's not doing a maisa on the kli itself. So that's considered a machshava, so your katan doesn't have machshava. Amalei machshava grei dasa lo kami bayile. He says, you know what? About a machshava alone, you're right, it's not a shaila. That was never the shaila. Katan does not have machshava. Ki kami bayile machshavasu nikeres mitoch ma'asav. The whole shaila is only when it's a machshava that's nikar mitoch ma'asav. He does a maisa that makes it very clear what his intention is, but he never verbalizes that intention. Kigon to have a kaima ola bedarom. For example, you have a carbon ola that's in the southern part of the Azara. Halach is by a carbon ola shchitasa batzafon. I don't know if this katan is shechting having in mind the shame carbon ola or not, but here's what I do know. It was in the darom va'asua batzafon, and he brought the carbon to the tzafon v'shachta, and he shechted it there. My, what do I say now? He never told me that he's doing it l'shem karbonola, but it's very clear. Why else would he bring the animal from one part of the Azara to the other? Do we assume from the fact that he brought it to the tzafon and he shechted it there, it's clear that he's having kavana? Or maybe there are lots of other explanations of why he didn't want to shecht it in the darum. Maybe it was too crowded in the darum. I would imagine that's just an example the Gemara is giving. Meaning even if the place is totally empty, I would imagine we'd attribute it to something else. It was too cold in the darum. He wasn't comfortable. He didn't feel like he had the right angle of light or whatever it is. You could come up with anything. Meaning the point is that we don't know for sure, that we can never really know for sure. So says the Gemara, Hanami Amar Rabbi Yochanan Chadazimna. But this Shaila also Rabbi Yochanan dealt with once. Ditnan, Hamala Peros of Lagag. A person brings his Peros up onto the roof. Now this is going to be This Mishnah is a Mishnah Maseches Machshirin. So this is going to be about the halachic status of Hechsher LeKabal Tumah. In order for a fruit to be a food, to be Mekabal Tumah, it first needs to come into contact with one of the Zayin Mashkim that are Machshir LeKabal Tumah, but that's not all. You need Kiyutan Dum Yudachiyitain. That when it comes into contact with one of those Zayin Mashkim, it has to be that the Bailim is happy with that contact, that he's satisfied that it came into contact with that liquid. If the Bailim Dafka did not want it to come into contact with that liquid, then that liquid does not have the ability to be Machshir LeKabal Tumah. This is interesting, Machlokas in the Rishonim, why it is that you need Hechsher LeKabal Tumah in order for the food to become Tameh. Some of the Rishonim suggest that Hechsher LeKabal Tumah works in the sense that it's not really considered a food until it's been washed, until it comes into contact with liquid, because no one eats their food until they clean it first. So it's not really a shem ochel yet, and that's why it's not able to be mekabel tumah. You don't wash your food with all the zayin mashkim, you would only use water. Yeah, but whatever. That's a basic explanation of the din midar raisa that some of the Rishonim have. Other Rishonim have, no, it's not a din in the Gemara Pri. It's like just as on a physical in a physical world, you need to stick something onto something else, you need some sort of adhesive. So too, in the spiritual sense, this is the spiritual adhesive, that if you were to take an apple and put it in some sand, nothing would happen. You pick up the apple, there's no sand. But you take a wet apple and you put it in sand, and then the sand sticks to the apple. So if you view the sand as the tumah, that's what allows the tumah to connect. But the halacha is that it's machshir lekabel tumah, even if it once came into contact with the one design mashkim and now it's dry. Okay, enoch inami. Meaning none of these explanations fit exactly perfectly. Rav Daniel Wolf has a whole essay on these two shittos in machshir lekabel tumah, and he tries to show that every machlokas we have in all of Maseches Machshirin is dependent on this chakira. I'm not sure that it necessarily is, but okay. So says the Mishnah, Hamala Peros of the Gag. A person puts his peros up on the roof, Mipnei Akanima, because he's trying to get the bugs out of the peros. V'yored aleim tal, and then dew falls on the peros. Tal is one of the mashkim that's machshir lekabel tumah. So einan b'chiyutan, that is not going to be machshir lekabel tumah, because you didn't have kavana that the tal should go on the peros. In fact, you probably didn't want it to go on the peros. But v'im niskavi lekach harein b'chiyutan. But if you did want it, you did want the tal to go on the peros, then it is machshir lekabel tumah. Helam cherishot of a katan apple bishin skavnu lekachen b'chiyutan. But if it was a cherishot of a katan that put it up on the gag, even if he had kavana for it, it's still not going to be machshir lekabel tumah. The kavana, the cherishot of a katan, is not going to count as kavana. Mipnei sheyesh len ma'isa vein len machshava. Their ma'isa would count, but their machshava does not count. V'am Rav Yochanan lo shanu al shlo hipech ben. Aval hipech ben areza b'chiyutan. So Rav Yochanan explains that's only if he didn't do any maisa. Putting it up on the roof was not a maisa, because putting it up on the roof was for a different purpose. That was to get rid of the bugs. So he has to do a maisa that shows that he's interested in the liquid hitting the fruit. So what kind of maisa would that be? If the dew is sitting on the top of the fruit and he starts angling the fruit one direction or the other to allow it to drip down the sides, where he clearly is showing that he's interested in the liquid coming in contact with the entire fruit. So if you look at Rashi, Harein b'chiyutan, Dachi Harein b'duchta akriti, Odeo atal alein, v'samach Harein b'chiyutan. That as long as it's currently still in contact with the liquid, and you're happy about it, even if you weren't happy about it at the time that it came in contact with the liquid, that's b'chiyutan. The afal pisha lo niskavim kodem l'chein, elekishara'a samach. Even though you weren't happy beforehand, but you are happy now. So that's enough to make it b'chiyutan. So that's what he said. But if you're hipech ben, it is b'chiyutan. And says Rashi in Dibur Maskal, v'l hipech ben, demais of mochichin, afal pishlo pireish machshavaso. From what you're doing with the fruit to try to make sure that the tal hits every part of the fruit, even though you didn't say, the katan didn't say any words. The fact that it's nikr mitoch ma'asav, what his intention is, that's good enough. Because if the case were that he actually told us what he's doing, he's saying, oh, look, I'm going to angle this fruit so that the tal can get to every part of the fruit. Then there's no shaila. I don't need Rabbi Yochanan to tell me. That's yeshla and maisa. We already know a katan is yeshla and maisa. The whole point is that he's trying to tell me what the halacha is with machshavas and nikeres mitoch ma'asav. And that's the case over here where he doesn't say anything, but from what he's doing, we can tell what his intention is. So apparently, even in the case that we thought we had a shayla, Rabbi Yochanan already dealt with it and told us that the katan does have the ability to have machshava nikeres mitoch ma'asav. So to review, the Gemara said, does a katan have machshava? That's not a shayla. Katan doesn't have machshava. Does a katan have maisa? It's not a shayla. Katan does have maisa. We thought the shayla was, does a katan have machshava nikeres mitoch ma'asav? But that turns out not to be a shayla either, because Rabbi Yochanan already answered that shayla. That a katan has the ability, that the katan's machshava nikeres mitoch ma'asav is enough to qualify as kavana. So says Gemara, no, hachi kami vayulei, d'oraisa d'rabanan. Our shayla is, does that work on a daraisa level or a drabana level? Yes, it counts as if the katan is having kavana when it's machshava nikeres mitoch ma'asav. But does that count midaraisa or only midrabanan? Rav Nachman Yitzchak Masni Hachi. Rav Nachman Yitzchak had the conversation in the following way: that Amar Rabbi Chiya Rabba Boy Rabbi Yochanan Katan Yesh LeMaisa Ein LeMaisa. The Rabbi Yochanan raised the shayla: does Katan have Maisa or not? Amar LeRabbi Ami V'Tivay LeMachshava. Why are you asking about Maisa? Ask about Machshava. Maisa Machshava DeLoka MiVayle. The only reason he didn't ask about Machshava is the Tanan Ein Le Machshava, because we have a Mishnah that a katan's machshava doesn't count. Well, maisa nami lo tibayli, t'tanan yesh la maisa. That same Mishnah tells us that a katan's maisa does count. So, hachi kami bayle, daraisa drabanan. So, in the second version of the conversation, we go straight for that. That the shayla is, whatever we say by counts by a katan, is that on a daraisa level or on a drabana level? Meaning, when we say that a katan's maisa counts, when we say that machshava nikeres mitok ma'asav counts, does that count on a daraisa level or only on a drabana level? Pashit Yeshlan Maisa Filumi Daraisa, and the answer is that a katan's maisa counts when there's a maisa accompanied by a dibur that works even for dinim daraisa. Ein lehen machshava vafilumi drabanan, that a katan's machshava does not count even for things that are only midrabanan. Now the middle category, machshavasav in the keres mitok maisav midaraisa ein lo midrabanan yeshlo. Even though Rabbi Yochanan already told us the machshav in the keres mitok maisav does work, does count as kavana for a katan. Yeah, but that's only midrabanan. That would not be true on a daraisa level. Only on a drabanan level do we say machshav in the keres mitok maisav is going to work for a katan. So Rashi explains nafkamina whether it works. Daraisa or drabanan is if machshavas and nikeres mitoch ma'asav works on a daraisa level, then we would be somich on it even lekula to be machshir shchitas katan bekadshim. If a katan shechts kadshim in a way that's machshavas and nikeres mitoch ma'asav, like the example that we gave, he takes the karbanola from the south to the north, but he doesn't explain why he's doing it. But if it only works midrabanan, then we would only say lahachmir, like to be machshir peros and say, oh, now those peros on the Rosh Hagag are going to be tame, because he did something that was machshavas and nikeres mitoch ma'asav. That would only work l'chumra, but not l'kula to say that we'd even allow the kachim that he shechted. However, the Prima Gadim in the Psicha Kalala Stilchas Yom Tov writes that only that even midrabanan it only works l'chumra, but not l'kula even for only something that's only nisid rabanan. Therefore, he says hazmana of a katan does not work to take something away from muktzah, from the category of muktzah on Shabbos. Like, for example, a rock is muktzah, but if you're mazman something before Shabbos, that it's going to have a particular use. Let's say you want to take the rock to crack a nut with the rock, so you don't have a nutcracker, so this rock is going to be the nut-cracking rock, but it's the katan that determined that the rock is the nut-cracking rock, even though the whole issue is only midrabanan, the whole muktzah issue is only midrabanan. We would not rely on machshav and nikeres mitoch ma'asav for such a thing, because we wouldn't rely on it l'kula at all, says the Prima Gadim. In the Bir Agra, in Or Chaim Sim Kufnun Tes, sounds that we would rely on it l'kula. We would rely on machshav and nikeres mitoch ma'asav l'kula, because he explains the reason why it is that ketanim are kosher to put mayim on yadayim in order to be matar yadayim. Metilas yadayim requires kavana in order for it to be considered a maisa, that the person who's putting the mayim has to have kavana and without it, it's like a maisa kof bialman, it's not considered proper netila. So the Gra explains, because it's machshav and ikeres mitoch ma'asav, so that's an inyan midrabanan, and we're relying on it lekula, the fact that it's a machshava that's nikeres. That's Nikeres mitoch Maisa. Another quick point to make over here: the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. You know, what does a kavana? When does a katan's kavana count as kavana? When does it not count as kavana? That's really the whole subject of our sugya. But how does it play out halacha lemaisa? Meaning, what kinds of things do we require kavana for in terms of mitzvos, in terms of making a cheftah shel mitzvah? So certainly, when it comes to tzitzis, right? You're supposed to do the shem mitzvah tzitzis when you make the tzitzis. A sukkah's ganvach is kasher, but a sukkah needs to be asuya l'shem tzel. It has to be done with the kavana that you're doing it l'shem tzel, that you're making it for shade. So in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Yudal and Hilchos Tzitzis, the Mechaber paskins that an isha is ksheira lasol tzitzis, but the Rama says that yesh machmirim to that only men should make tzitzis, and tov lasos ken l'chadchila. L'chadchila, a woman should not be making tzitzis. Now, why are yesh machmirim? So I'm going to have Ram write that we're assuming like the yesh machmirim, we're assuming like the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, who holds that any mitzvah that a woman is not mechuyiv ba, she's not able to make the cheftza shel mitzvah. And therefore, says the Magen Avraham, if that's the hesber, that any mitzvah a woman's not mechuyiv in, she's not authorized to be able to make a cheftza shel mitzvah, she's not empowered to be able to make the cheftza shel mitzvah. So Magen Avraham says the same would be true by a katan. He's not mechuyiv in tzitzis. Mela, he's not able to make a cheftza shel mitzvah of tzitzis. However, other Rishonim disagree. They say that even within Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, that an Isha cannot make tzitzis, a katan can make tzitzis. Why? Because a katan will one day be chayiv in the mitzvah of tzitzis. I have a discussion of this in my first sefer about an Isha making a sukkah, so there's a nafkamina between the different ways of understanding Rabbeinu Tam. Nafkamina would be when it comes to a katan. Now, l'maisa, the poskim write, l'chadchila, we should tell a katan not to make tzitzis because of this Magen Avraham, but that's only when he's making tzitzis for other people. But when he's making tzitzis for himself, Bir Alacha writes, just like the whole thing is only chinuch for himself, so when he gets older, he'll be able to make tzitzis for himself because he's going to be a gadol. So now he can make tzitzis for himself as well. And then the Bir Alacha says, in a greater chiddush, if he made tzitzis for himself when he was a katan, and then he was niskadol, he became a bar mitzvah, he can continue to wear those tzitzis, because once they were hutar, they're hutar. Plus, you have all these rishonim that assume, not that way, that assume that he is kosher to make tzitzis in the first place, so we could rely on that anyway. So that's the shita of the Bir Alacha. Okay, a little bit about this topic. Says Gemara Vayter now, Baymenei Shmuel me Rav Huna. Shmuel asked the following shayla from Rav Huna. Minayin l'misasik b'kachim shu pasul. How do I know that if a person shechs kachim in an entirely misasik kind of way, in a mindless kind of way, he's not having kavana at all to even do a maisa shchita, he's just moving the knife and he happens to slide it right across the animal's neck, how do I know that's possible? Shnemar v'shachat as ben abakar, shetei shchita l'shem ben bakar. That you have to have shchita l'shem ben bakar. Amar lo zubi odenuhi. That we already knew, that you're not allowed to do that. But la'akev minayin. How do I know that it's actually ma'akev? Meaning, I know you're supposed to have kavana, but I wanted to know if you didn't, how do I know that it's ma'akev and the carbon is possible? L'rtzonchem tizbechu, l'daitchem zavochu. That second pasuk teaches me la'akev, that it's ma'akev, that it has to be with a sense of das. So one technical point and one halachic point. Technical point over here, Tosus points out, who's asking who the shayla? Shmuel is asking Rav Huna the shayla. So it sounds like Rav Huna is gadol mi Shmuel, because Rav Huna is the one that Shmuel asks shaylos too. In Meseches Arachin, Daf Tezayin and Beis, it sounds like Rav Huna used to sit in front of Shmuel like a Talmud Lufnei Rabbo, meaning Shmuel was Gadol Me Rav Huna. And there are many places where we see that Rav Huna was the Katan and Shmuel was the Gadol. So how we miyashiv the Stira says Tosfos, Shnei Rav Huna. Tosfos says stuff like this throughout all of Shas, that he always notes the different Amorim that don't seem to fit in the right generation, or they don't fit in terms of the Talmud, Rebbe Talmud relationship. relationship, he says it must be that there are two Rav Hunas. But then Tos says, the Rav Huna that the Gemara says in Erechin was Yoshev L'fnei Shmuel, like a Talmud L'fnei Rabbo, he was in the Gemara in Erechin over there, it's clear that he was also a Talmud of Rav, and he was not Katan mi Rabbi Yirmiya. And the Marshal writes that what Tos is trying to tell us is that we still have a kasha even if there are two Rav Hunas, because that was, it sounds from our sugya and Gittin that he was Gadol Mishmuel, and Arachan sounds like he was Katan Mishmuel. But the Maram explains that Tos is not trying to be Docha their own Teretz. He's trying to say that there were in fact three Rav Hunas. One that was more Chash Mishmuel, a second Rav Huna that was Stam, who was a Talmud of Rav, and was Katan Mishmuel, and a third who was even Katan Mi Rabbi Yirmiya. So Tos is not really trying to create problems. He's trying to say, just like we have two Rav Hunas, we have three Rav Hunas as well. Okay, that's the technical point. Now the other point over here, in terms of Misasik B'Kachim, Rabbi Kiva Eger raises the issue. It says Meseches B'Choros, that the Cheresh and Shota are possible to do Avodah because they're Eno Shava Bezaro Shal Aron. So since they're not Mechalel the Avodah of the Hakrava, and he asks, so why don't we pass the Ravoda because of its misasik? A Shota is even Garua Mekatan. He's even worse than a Katan in terms of his das. Why do I need this new explanation of why a Cherish and a Shota are Pasla Avoda? Because Enu Shava Bezaru Shalaron. Anyway, it should be possible. He's considered like a misasik. So, and our Sugya says that a Katan that Shaks is a misasik Bekachin. And therefore, Rabbi Kivega leaves it as a Tzarechiyun in his Chuvis, Madura Tinyana Simon Samach Dalit. However, a number of the other Achronim give terutzim. In Malbusha Yomtuf, he suggests that we're talking about a Cheresh that's Medaber Ve'inu Shamea, and a Shota that has some Das, but it's just a weak kind of Das. So he's a Pikeach L'Kol Davar, but still, when it comes to Avodas Kachim, we have a higher standard of Das. He's Eino Shava Bezaru Shel Aron, and therefore we have a higher standard of Das when it comes to that. So that's a great Chiddush, to say that a Cheresh Shota, when the Gemara talks about a Cheresh and Shota, it's talking about a different type of a Cheresh and Shota, who's not actually halachically a Cheresh and Shota, a little bit difficult. The Achiezer of Chaim Moser suggests that the Psul of Mesasik B'Kachim is only by Shechita. It's not true by Shar Avodos. The other Avodos, there is no Psul Mesasik. Oh, so then you understand very well why I need a separate Psul of Eino Shava Bezaru Shel Aron. That's for all the other Avodos of Kachim. Chaznish says that there are two Nafkaminas, whether the Psul is Mitam Mesasik or it's Mitam Eino Shava Bezaru Shel Aron. One Nafkamina would be, what if you're Zorik the Dam while you're a total Bardas, and while the Dam is mid-flight, you turn into a Shota. Right? So what's the status of that Zrika? So he says, if you're going to say, the Chaznish writes that the Maisa was done when you were Ben Das, but Mitam Eino Shava, the Avod is going to be possible because it got done when you were not a Shava Bezaru Shel Aron. So that would be one Nafkamina. Another Nafkamina Chaznish says, Acher Shota V'Katan, where Big De Kuna, are Makadi Shadeim Raglayim, where it's a Maisa Gomor that's Mochiach, that they're intending to do the Avodah. So even a Katan has Maisa in such a way when it's Maisa Mochiach Alav, so he has Maisa, according to, so in such a case, we wouldn't possible Mitam Esasek. So that's why we still need the other reason of Enu Shava, Bizarro Shel Aron. Okay, says the Mishnah now, Shechita Ovid Chavim Nevela or Mitama B'Maso. If Ovid Chavim does Shechita, it's a Nevela, it's totally an invalid Shechita, and it's Mitama B'Maso like any other Nevela. Meaning we view it as if the animal just died on its own, as if it's not a Shechita at all. There's a Machlokas Rishonim what the source for this din is, that the Shechita Ovid Chavim has the din of a Nevela. Tosfos writes in Dav Gimlam and Beis, and the Rush writes in the name of the Ri, that the Pasuk says, V'zavachta mibkarcho mitzoncha shenosan Hashem l'cha ka'asher tzivisicha ve'achalta, and we darshan v'zavachta and v'achalta. Masha ata zoveach ata ochel. Meaning, only someone who's mitzuva on shchita, where it says v'zavachta, can his shchita lead to a v'achalta. Can it be kosher to eat from his shchita? So his shchita's goy, he's not going to be matir b'achila because he's not mitzuva on shchita in the first place. Similarly, someone who's ochel nevelus la'achas, who's not shaykh in the mitzvah, is mafkia himself from the mitzvah, these Rishonim say, is unable to create a shechita that's going to be matir ba'achila. So it would turn out that the Ran writes that if a goy shechts an animal, it's considered that the animal just died on its own, and mele, it's absolutely a nevela, that's metame b'masa. It's a nevela midaraisa. It's metame b'masa. Rashi on our Mishnah says that shechita sakum is nevela, even if he shechts according to the Tosos and the Rush that we just mentioned. The reason for that is because he's not a bar zvicha, so his maisa is not called the maisa shechita. It doesn't matter how much kavana the people around him are having, and that we're instructing him, and that we see that he's doing it right. That's all irrelevant, because his maisa just can't be a maisa shechita. The question becomes, though, Cherishot v'katan are also not mitzvah in shechita. And yet, when there's Gadol Omer al Gabehem, the shechita is kasher. So the whole explanation is only someone who's mitzvah in the zvicha can create a heter achila through a shechita. Yeah, how do you explain Cherishot v'katan then? Why is it okay if a Cherishot v'katan shechts with the Gadol Omer al Gabehem? So some of the Akronim explain that since there's an iser to feed a katan, Macholos Asuros, there's an Isra, Sfiya B'Yadayim, to feed a katan Macholos Asuros, so he is really included in Shechita. It's true, he's not mitzuva in the classical sense of Shechita. If he's eating it on his own, maybe you don't have a chiyuv lahafrisho, right, if you're not the father who's chayv to be mechanichim, but you're not allowed to give him nevela. And therefore, in a certain sense, he's mitzuva lahafrisho, he's mitzuva in Shechita. Okay, that's one possibility. Let's see the Gemara now. Says Gemara the following deal. Nevela in Isra Anah Lo. We said that when an Akum does the Shechita, yes, it becomes Nevela, but it doesn't become Asr Bana. So Mantana, Amr B'chim Rabbi Abba, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Delok Rabbi Eliezer. This mission is against Rabbi Eliezer. Di Rabbi Eliezer, Amr Stamach Shav Zavid Chavim La'avod Chavim. Rabbi Eliezer assumes that Stamach Shav Avinovid Chavim is La'avod Zara. So it would be worse than Nevela, it would be Asr Bana. Rabbi Ami Amr Hachiktani, Shechita Zavid Chavim Nevela, Hadimin La'avod Chavim. That the Diyuk should really go like this. The Shechita Avinovid Chavim is a Nevela, but Shechita of a min, someone who's very much connected to Avodah Zarah, we assume his Shechita is the Avodah Zarah, and therefore it becomes even Asr Bana. Tanina lahad, Tan Rabbanan, Shechitas min lavod zchavim. The Shechita of a min, we assume is lavod zarah, and therefore, because everything he does is lavod zarah. Pito paskuti, his bread, the bread of a min is considered to be paskuti. The Ramban and the Ran write that we're more machmir about paskuti. Paskuti, I mean, even though all pasakum is asr, but paspalter is mutter by regular pasakum. But paskuti, even paspalter, even if he's a professional baker, it would be asr. We're extra strict when it comes to paskuti, because we were more concerned that you'll come to mix in with the kutim, so we have to be extra strict in the chumrah. The isra of paskuti, the heter of paspalter that you have is because in a tzibri chon lamudba, but we're able to withstand just avoiding the bakeries that are kutim and ovdei avodah zarah mamish. And yeno yayinesech, if you have a min, his yayin is considered yayinesech. Svarav sifrei kosmin, his svarim are considered to be the svarim of people who are over in avodah zarah, and therefore Rashi writes, svarav sifrei kosmin, svarav Torah neviyah muksuvim shaksavim min. It could be a perfectly good Torah neviyah muksuvim physically, it looks exactly like a regular Tanakh. But nevertheless, you would burn the sefer, the chiyuv, it's a chiyuv to burn it if it was made by such a person who's connected to Avodah Zarah. Rav Moshe has a discussion, does that still apply nowadays? Because we're about to see on Amud Beis, and nowadays all the Avodah Zarah b'chutz la'aretz are minigav v'seim v'yadayim, they don't really believe in anything, they're just following what their parents told them. But Rav Moshe says, yeah, what about missionaries? It's not minigav v'seim v'yadayim, no parents ever told them, they're just, they bought into this entire movement. So he said the books that missionaries give out, even if they have Shem Hashem, you burn such a book. You would destroy such a book. I've gotten that shaila a few times. There have been people over the years that have come around North Woodmere also trying to missionize. I imagine with very little success, but they're trying to missionize. So they leave these books all over the place in people's mailboxes and things. So yeah, so we have a chiv to destroy them. So Perus Tevelin, the Perus are Tevel, the Yesh Omrim, Af Banu Mamzerim. And some say that their children are Mamzerim as well. The Tanakama, who did not include Banu one of Mamzerim on the list is because Ishtal lo Mafkir. He doesn't go that far. He's not going to be Mafkir his wife to other people. Amar Mar, Shechitas of Chavim Nevela. So we said the Shechit of Chavim is Nevela. Venecha Shema Minhu. Shouldn't we have to be Choshesh that the Ovid Chavim is a Min, that he's very much connected to Avodah Zarah? So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua, Ein Minin Bu'umos of the Chavim. You don't really find that there are Minim by the Ovid Chavim. What do you mean you don't really find? Of course you do. There are plenty of minim amongst the avodah of the chavim. There are plenty of them that are connected to avodah zarah. Say ema ein rove of the chavim minim. Yeah, but it's not the majority. Savlaki adam rabbi chibaraba, rabbi yochanan nachum shubuchutz laretz love of the avodah chavim hein elaminagav sein biyadeim. The nachum and chutz laretz are not really of the avodah zarah. They're minagav sein biyadeim. That the Rambam writes in Perush Mishnayos. Some of the Avodah Zarah are those who actually know how to do it. They know how to look at the mazalos for their own purposes, to be morid the shefa from the mazalos and all those other shtuyos that they do, but they believe in it entirely, and that's Avodah Zarah mamish. Then you have others that are over the psalim and slamim without understanding anything, because that's how they were taught by by their priests in their schools, and that's rov of the chavim. And that group, he says, that's of the chavim shabchutzlar, it's lav of the chavim heim, elamai savoseim v'yodeim. And that's on those that we say the shechit is mitamei b'masa, but it's not going to be aser behana'a. So I'm Rav Yosef Barmanumi, I'm Rav Nachman. Ein min bumus of the chavim lamai. What is the halachic implication of saying that they aren't minim, that the non-Jews are not minim? So three possibilities. Ilei mele shechita, if you can say it's about their shechita, well, hash the shechitas min di Yisrael amret asira, davos chavim ibai. Certainly a min that's a Jew, their shechita is going to be asked. Certainly, over chavim shchita is going to be aser. Ela l'moridin must be nafkamina is as far as the halacha of moridin that you wouldn't drop him into the bottom of a pit. Well, hashtu di Yisrael moridin a min Yisrael we would drop into the bottom of a pit. Tovik chavim ibayis, so certainly tovik chavim would be the same. So says Mar Amar Rav Utva Bar Chama lekabel mehem korban. No, it comes into play when it comes to accepting a korban from them. D'tanya michem v'lo kulchem lehotzias amumar. When it comes to the Jewish people, we do not accept korbanos from every Jew. If a person is a mumar, we do not accept recovering from him. Michem v'chem chalati v'lovik chavim. But we have a drasha that distinction between some and others is only within the Jewish people, that we accept kabbalas from some Jews and not from others. But by of the chavim, we accept from all of them. Mimai, dilma hachikamar, mi'sol mitzadiki kabel mirshi lotikabel. Now maybe the chilik should be that when it comes to Jews, we accept only from tzadikim and not rishayim. Avol bov chavim, kal kal lo. Maybe enoch by of the chavim we don't distinguish, but maybe not that we don't distinguish and we accept from all of them, but maybe we don't distinguish and we accept from none of them. Says Mar Lo Sal Kadaitach Titania Ish Matam Lomer Ish the Rabbis of the Chavim Shnodim Darim Davosk Yisrael, that we have an explicit drasha that of the chavim could be no der nedarim and nedavos that are allowed to bring karbanos and we accept karbanos from of the chavim. So once we know that we're not mechalik between different types of the chavim, it must be that we accept from all of the chavim. Umetama b'masa. We said that the nevela, the shchitas of chavim is a nevela, and it's metame b'masa. So pshita, kivet the nevela, he metame b'masa. If it's a nevela, obviously it's metame b'masa. So amarava hachi katani, zu metame b'masa, v'yeshcha acharash, he metame afilu ba'ohel. Yeah, this shchita is metame b'masa, but there's another type of shchita where it's going to have an even greater level of tumah. It's going to be metame ba'ohel. Ve'ezo, zot tekrovis avod chavim. That's if you have something that was actually used in the worship of avodah zarah, that they shechted the animal, l'shem avodah zarah, that meat is going to be metame even ba'oel. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, and that's aligned with the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Ikeda amri amar Rava, hachi katani. Zuma metame masa, v'yeshcha cherishi kazosha metame masa, ve'ena metame ba'oel. That this is metame masa, and there's another one that's similar to it, that is metame masa, but not ba'oel. Ve'ezuzu tekrovus avod chavim, and that's tekrovus avod zarah, that's not metame ba'oel. Udalok Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, because we're assuming not like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira holds that Tikrovus of the Zara is Metame Ba'oel, but maybe we don't assume that that's correct. Where do we find Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira has such a shita of Tikrovus of the Zara being Metame Ba'oel? Titania, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, Minayin, the Tikrovus of the Chavim, she Metame Ba'oel. How do I know that Tikrovus of the Zara is Metame Ba'oel? Shenemar, Because the pasuk says vayitzmedu leval pa'ar vayochlu zivche mesim. Of all things to describe those karbanos that were brought for bal pa'ar, that were brought l'avodah zarah, why do we use that description of zivche mesim, that we consider it to be the zevach of mesim? So it must be, why do we call it zivche mesim? Ma mes metame ba'oel, after krovus avodah zarah metame ba'oel. That just like a mesim metame ba'oel, to krovus avodah zarah is also metame ba'oel. The Rabbanan disagree, and they say to krovus avodah zarah is not metame ba'oel. Apparently they don't hold of this hekesh. They don't make this hekesh between krovus avodah zarah and mesim. That's what Tosfos points out, that they disagree with the entire hekesh. But there's a major discussion Rishonim what to do with that hekesh if you hold like the Rabban, because the pasuk does call it zivche mesim, but not for now. Bez Hashem, we'll pick up tomorrow at the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis.